Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM and the CQ Worldwide DX Phone Contest, which runs from October 26th to 28th. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by Ting.com. Ting is a new mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, and it doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one pooled plan. To save $50 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode 70 for October 24th, 2012, the CQ Worldwide DX Contest. Good evening. Welcome to Ham Nation, the show where we talk about amateur radio and whatever else is on our mind that week. I'm George Thomas here near Jackson, Mississippi, and we've got our good friends Gordo and Julian out in Costa Mesa. Good evening.
And good evening, George and Ham Nation viewers. Yeah, Julian and I were just poring over the big book that came out of Pacific on that ham convention so well run a couple of weeks ago. Wow, look at this. This is their antenna seminar book on the Friday antenna seminar day. And talk about doing it upright. I don't know, Julian, but the pictures and the words will keep us busy for quite some time. Oh, speaking of books, look at this. At PacificCon, Nifty comes up with a new book. It says, Join the Ranks of D-Star Operators. This is new and revised. So for those of you that are taking part in the big get-together this weekend on the air on D-Star on Sunday at the Last Man Standing Studio, which is not easy to say fast seven times, D-Star will prevail and be big time, but you'll hear more about that shortly. So, George, we're talking books tonight. Let's go back to you and see how Bob was doing. You know, he had an organ transplant. No. Nothing medically, folks.
No,
nothing medically. This would be a concert pipe organ transplant.
Yes.
Go ahead, George.
A sonic transplantation. So, yeah, nothing serious there, Gordo. Although I think it was a lot of work, probably as much work as an actual organ transplant. That book you were just looking at, boy, that thing is thick. I don't think the ARRL antenna book is any larger than that. And you say they covered all this in one day, huh?
They did, and they had an excellent crowd. They must have had close to 250, maybe 300 in the room. And boy, talk about antenna experts, George. They were all there, and they hung around for the entire PacificCon Hamfest. And let me tell you, that was one well-run ARRL National Ham Radio Convention. And again, there'll be a year off for National, and then in 2 years, back in Newington, Connecticut, for the league's 100th ARRL National Convention. Back to you, George.
Well, that's a great event. I'm going to have to make it one of these years. I've never been to PacificCon, and I'm still, you know, kind of recent to Dayton and Huntsville, you know, the big hamfest over here on the East Coast. And I think there's a few other large ones, but that PacificCon sounds like another major one I need to try to get to. And you were talking about things coming up this weekend. I know we've got the big event going on there at the studio of Last Man Standing that Julian will be telling us a little bit about later. But aren't there some other contests coming up this weekend, or am I mistaken? Is this the
The big CQ Worldwide Contest, and we're going to be talking about that about half past the hour. But to get ready for contesting, and Alex, if you want to get ready with a second, 7 second shots, don't say that fast. Prior to the contest, I know many of you that have the extra class license are going to be spreading out during the CQ Worldwide Contest this weekend. Starts Friday at 0000 hours, which is really Saturday morning UTC. But the extras will have a little bit of extra band space, a little extra room. And those of you or Ham Nation viewers and listeners that have the extra class ticket, did you know that you are more than three quarters of the way for your commercial radio telephone license? And let me tell you what the commercial radio telephone license can do for you. So go ahead, Alex, and if you would, roll some of the still shots. If you live near the water, the commercial radio telephone license, Element 1, Marine Radio Operator's Permit, would allow you to be the radio person to skipper one of these small party boats that take passengers all around the harbor. So the MROP is important. But for those of you technical going to Element 3, the GROL, you'll be expert, of course, in analyzing installations aboard some of these boats that the GROL license covers, including aeronautical installations. You'll look at coax connectors like this. You'll work with single sideband transceivers like this one from SGC. And with the used to be the old first class license, now called the General Radio Operator's License, you can actually get into the business with what used to be the old first class ticket of doing small passenger vessel inspections for money. That's right, $75 an hour, $100 an hour with the commercial GROL license. There it is right there, GROL. It's lifetime now. You'll be able to go aboard party boats that carry passengers for hire and inspect them and sign off the Coast Guard certificate for their five-year radio telephone license. And this holds true for lakes and rivers and oceans. You'll be able to turn on a radio like this, the Uniden, and double check that it's got the MMSI number. And if it doesn't, you'll be able to program that number in the transceiver with your GROL license. It's a very important license to have. So if you live or work anywhere where there's a lot of boat traffic, they are constantly looking for someone to help do these inspections. And all you need is the GROL to conduct inspections aboard some of these boats that you see here that are small party boats that take six passengers out for either a day cruise or a look around the harbor. The commercial GROL license inspection doesn't require real elaborate equipment. You need a watt meter, field strength meter, even an MFJ MFJ frequency analyzer, frequency meter, deviation meter, SWR bridge, good volt, ohm meter. These are the tools that you'll need to conduct. It takes about 2 or 3 hours aboard a small passenger vessel. So you probably got a lot of this gear already in hand. In fact, on the MFJ, we modify it so what was a 146 megahertz deviation meter now goes to 156 with very minor modification, because that's what you're checking is the marine VHF installation aboard these boats. And you're also going to check that the emergency distress MMSI assembly is all hooked up properly, that if there is an emergency and that boat owner needs to press the magic button, that it's going to send out a distress call. And this is why the Coast Guard, every 5 years, will inspect these small party boats. And they say, do you have that radio certificate issued by a holder of a GROL license? And that might be you. Here we see a properly executed MMSI number, and all of this is covered on the examination for the GROL license. And it's not a tough exam. 24 questions for rules and regs and 100 on electronic theory, including this device right here, which is called the Automatic Identification System. Much like APRS, it's called AIS, and part of your inspection procedure, remember you're on the clock hourly, is to make sure that this equipment is receiving and transmitting properly. So to study for your GROL license, you've already got more than half the technical test questions out of the way. I've got a great book, the Gordo, G-R-O-L book. You can get that through your local ham radio dealer or through the W5YI group. And I'll give you that phone number shortly. But the book contains every single living question there is for both the technical element 3 as well as element 1, the rules and regulations. So if you've got the G-R-O-L in sight and you already hold the extra class license, more than half of the questions are exactly the same, straight out of the extra book and into your commercial test. So get the book. Phone number is 800-669-9594. And if you had prior radar experience, you might also get the radar element 8. So I hope all of you would decide to, with your extra class license around the water, get involved with making a little money on the side, and that is obtaining the commercial radio telephone general radio operator's license. We'll see you down at the marina. George, back to you.
So you mean this is good for something, right? Yeah. Here.
Yeah, you got it, George. So you can work on my radios anytime. Come on over and we'll even stand for an inspection down at the yacht harbor. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know of but one party boat in my area, and I'm not sure who's inspecting it. But I'll have to check with them and see, because, you know, I got this thing to work in television and radio back years ago, and it's not required there anymore. And I really didn't know that they still even issued them. But that's good news. I'm sure the test has changed since I took it back in the early 80s. But, I would agree. If you can pass an extra, you can pass this one. It's very, very similar. The best I remember. It's been a long time. Julian, tonight, you've got something special for us there, don't you?
I do. I don't know if you guys out there, guys and gals, have ever seen the Survivor Man TV series with Les Stroud. The great, great show. Has to survive for several days out in the wilderness. Well, Will Robertson, AI4QT, reminds me of Les Stroud. He went up backpacking with a little Yaesu radio, took it up there and made some contacts. Just had a great time doing it. So let's go ahead and run his video. Will Robertson, AI4QT.
The temperature is just right. It's not cool, but it's not warm. It's just perfect. And I thought, this is a place that I have DX'd before with my little 817ND. And I thought, today is another great day to DX on 20 meters. So I'm going to be setting up the ham radio station here, operating portable high atop Lookout Mountain near Mentone, Alabama. Okay, this is my portable station that I keep in my backpack. And I'm going to be using a mega power output of 5 watts. So I'm not sure if I can reach over to Europe today because it is rapidly getting to be sunset time. But I sure hope to be able to pick up and talk to a few stations stateside here operating 5 watts, which is about less than the power wattage of your light bulb in your home refrigerator. So antenna, 20 meters. I'm not going to use the tuner because I have cut the antenna to the wavelength of 20 meters, so no need for a tuner today. And here is the radio, capable of worldwide communications with 5 watts. It's a Yaesu 817 November Delta. Some power. Here's my 12-volt, 7-amp-hour dry cell battery. And let's see. Oh, here's the string. So here we go. Ha ha. I should use a rock, but I'm just going to use a twig to throw it around a limb of the pine tree here.
Let's see if I can do it in one shot. Bingo.
I love these multi-tools. Never leave home without it. Also, it really doesn't hurt to have some pepper spray for the bears. Again, this is a dipole. So this is one leg of the dipole. I'll put over there somewhere. Dun 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 dun. All right, I'll just
CQ, 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 this is Alpha India 4, Quebec Tango, AI4, QT, Portable Station, Lookout Mountain, Alabama, QRZ.
Alpha India 4, Quebec, India, or Quebec Tango, this is Whiskey 7, or Kilowatt 7, Hotel India Lima. My name is Michael, and we're located in Tucson, Arizona. Go ahead.
AI4QT, AI4QT, Kilo Delta Zero, Romeo Charlie Bravo, Kilo Delta Zero, Romeo Charlie Bravo, Central Iowa.
Okay, Kilo Delta Zero, Romeo Charlie Bravo, is that correct?
Roger, Will. Personal here is Randy. I'm located in Central Iowa, and I've got you at about probably an F6 at this point.
Kilo 2 United Tango. Kilo 2 United Tango. Also QRP.
Hey, QRP station. Hey, you're booming in here. Kilo 2 Uniform Tango. Is that correct?
Okay, Roger, Roger, Will.
Well, folks, there you go. Can you see me? 5 watts does work.
All right.
All right.
He just had so much fun. And like I said, it just really reminded me of Survivor Man. You know, it takes everything he needs, goes out there, sets it all up, backpacks it out. It's awesome. Something I do have to say, I don't know whether you can see behind me right here, my little call sign nameplate. Isn't that cool? Scott Harding wrote me a letter and said, I noticed that all the other guys have, can you lift that up for me? I still got a bad shoulder. All those guys have these really fancy things, and Tom N5HUM made this for me and sent it to me. So thanks, Tom. I really appreciate that. Also, so as not to take up too much time, because I know we're packed, don't forget this Sunday, October 28th, is the Papa System event from the studios of Last Man Standing. It is a Papa System event, and they will be on DC Delight. So join us on VHF, UHF, Echolink, D-Star, IRLP, HF. What am I missing? Is that about it?
Lightwaves.
Lightwaves, Spark Gap, whatever will be on it. Go to the Papa System website at www.papasys.com, and you can look at it and join us on the air. It's going to be great. So take a break from contesting, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, and join us for a nice relaxing time. And Alex, if you can pop up that little QSL card, because this event, they will be giving out in very limited numbers.
Oh, look at that.
I was going to say a credit card. That would be great. But this is a QSL card, and this is what they're going to be giving out. This is just the preliminary version. It may change ever so slightly, but this is an absolute collector's item. So October 28th, Sunday, join us, papasys.com, to look up where we're going to be and when we're going to be there. So that's it. George, back to you.
Okay, Julian. That's an interesting event. You know, I've got a card there from the Last Man Standing set previously, but having this collectible here, that's going to be nice. And I know they went to a lot of trouble to put this event on, and we appreciate the Papa System and everyone getting involved with it. It probably could not have happened otherwise. Do you have another video for us tonight, Julian? I think maybe you had a little extra something special there.
Yeah, actually, Amanda Alden, who everybody knows here from Ham Tales, she did an interview with some people from the Rocky Mountain areas and one of their trailers that they had running. So, Alex, if you have that video available.
Welcome. We're here on Ham Nation, and we're here with the Rocky Mountain Ham Radio Club. And with us is Jeff Ryan, K0RM, president of the club. Thanks for being here.
Sure. My pleasure.
Thanks. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your trailer and what you guys do here?
This trailer actually started out as a contest trailer for VHF contesting, and the Aries guys got a look at it and said, we know a command post when we see one. And about that time, our organization kind of evolved from a contest group to a public service group. The trailer is we like to call it a DC to light kind of capability. We've got everything in here from D-Star to Winlink, HF, VHF, digital moto turbo radios. And we can take this trailer anywhere we need to, and it has a satellite dish, so we can bring internet into the trailer. We can go out in a remote area, out in the woods, out in the middle of nowhere, off the grid. We bring our own generators, and then we can tie that disaster area back to the grid. We have IP phone capability as well as full internet email capability as well.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of stuff went into this. Now, how many people worked on this trailer? Do you know anything like that?
Well, we built the trailer from scratch. We bought an empty trailer, and we completely outfitted it with the radios, but as well as internet capability and electrical capability. And I think we had a total of about 24 people over the course of a couple of months that it took us to build the trailer.
Okay, and do you only use it for Aries, or do you use it for other incidents, events? Does anyone call you and ask you for help? What happens there? What is it here for?
Just about any event. We're a public service group that provides service to other amateur radio organizations, whether it's a club or an Aries unit. And clubs will call us to use the trailer for public service events, parades, MS-150, bicycle events, races, etc. And then obviously we get called by Aries groups when there's actual disasters as well.
That's awesome. And how much money would you say is invested into this thing?
Well, that's kind of a tough question. A lot of the materials were purchased and then donated by members and some other groups. But we figure there's probably, if you include the labor to put the trailer together, somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000 to $85,000 worth of investment in the trailer.
That's great. That must have taken a lot of time and energy. And when we were out at Waldo Canyon Fire, which is when I first talked to you or heard you on the radio ever, I think, what did you guys specifically do for that incident?
We were called out by Colorado Section Emergency Coordinator Robert Wareham, gave us a call and said that our capacity was needed down at the Waldo Canyon Fire, specifically to support the Red Cross. They had a multi-shelter operation going on, and they were going to be dispatching amateur radio operators to both Red Cross headquarters in Colorado Springs as well as to several shelters, and they wanted to use amateur radio to maintain the communications between all of those locations. So we went ahead and deployed the trailer down to Colorado Springs initially with a four-person crew to get it set up and operational, and we were down there for about 5 days, and over the course of 5 days, I think we had about 16 people rotating through the trailer providing support to the Red Cross.
So you guys had 16 people here in 5 days, and where I was at the American Red Cross shelter, there was 4 of us for 5 days. So I'm glad that you guys had some extra people here to help you out. I think that's about all we need to know. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the trailer or anything you guys do?
Well, just that it is available to the amateur radio community. You know, we're here at the Boulder Swap Fest, and the reason we bring the trailer here is primarily to let the amateur community know that it's available, let people see it, and understand that this capability is available. Just come and ask us.
Great. And they're also, they'll go to other states, I believe. You've gone to Wyoming and places like that before. And Rocky Mountain Ham Radio Club is very interesting, you guys, because of the fact that how you become a member. You become a member by actually helping them out in an incident or event and helping them out a few times. that's your membership. There's no application, no fees, things like that. So they're a great club. They seem that they're all a lot of fun, and I wish you could meet them all, but they're all spread out around the Ham Fest right now. So I think that's all we got, you guys, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show tonight.
Oh, that was great, Amanda. Boy, it sure is great to see Amanda again out there doing her thing so well with Emergency Comms. All right, it's time for the CQ contest announcement. And Alex, if you'll, when you get a chance, I know you're a little busy up there, roll that Julian video of the K3LN contest station. And CQ contest, CQ contest. That's the sound you'll be hearing this weekend, October 26th and the 28th from Ham all over the world that take to the airways. It's the CQ Worldwide DX Phone Contest. Starts this Friday, 0100 hour Zulu, all the way through this Sunday, 2359 Zulu. 30,000 ham radio operators. And to learn more about the contest, go to cqww.com/rules. Now, propagation is great this week. We've had all sorts of solar flares. The contest will yield probably loads of certificates and plaques to be given out. There'll be many de-expeditions during the CQ worldwide. And the whole idea is to work as many zones and as many countries as possible. And the bands, 160, 75, 40, 20, 15, and 10. Technician class operators, you've got privileges on 10 meters, 28.3 to 28.5. There we are, 28.4, 38. And generals, maybe you'll try a little FM on 29.6, generals and extras. Logging, www.arrl.org, logbook-of-the-world, and QSLing. There'll be plenty of QSL cards. And as you can see on our ICOM America rigs, you can work your ICOM DSP circuit, which Julian demoed last week, and you can work passband tuning. You can work manual and automatic notch filters on your ICOM rig and end up with a logbook that looks as big as this that Julian scored with his little 8-1s.
I wish.
Julian had a 718 out there having a great time. Anyway, keep a log. Make sure that you send in your log. You've only got 5 days. And single ops, single assisted ops, multi ops, team. And your report is going to be usually 5903 for the West Coast, 04 for the Midwest, and 05 for those folks on the East Coast. Now, here's Julian with this announcement.
Okay, make sure you visit icomamerica.com/hamnation for more info on ham HF rigs and great products for contesting. So, you can also enter ICOM's weekly drawing for swag like T-shirts and hats. We wish to congratulate our previous winners. So check if you won by going to icomamerica.com/hamnation and clicking on the View Last Week's Winners link.
All right. Well, thanks, Jewel, man. And again, we hope to hear all of you out there for the CQ Worldwide Phone Contest this weekend. Next weekend at CW, and ICOM will tell you more about that. But I've got my 9100, and we're going to, Julian's got what, the 7700?
7700, yeah.
And we're going to be on the air. So we hope to work you this weekend. But remember, work as many countries all over the world, and your opportunity to really exercise the airwaves in your gear. So ICOM says we'll see you on the bands this weekend. George, back to you.
Well, thanks, Gordo, and thanks, Julian, and thanks, Amanda. Good to see you again, and a great report there from Colorado. Yeah, I wanted to work that event this weekend. You know, this is one of the premier events. If you want to get on the air and work some, make a few contacts, this is a great opportunity to do it. Unfortunately, I'm going to be traveling this weekend, so any contacts I make are going to be done from my ICOM IC7000 and the mobile there. And it's not impossible to make contacts through the mobile during a contest like this. Maybe a little bit more difficult, but certainly not impossible. Well, we've got Don Wilbank standing by in the wings here with the weekly Amateur Radio Newsline report. Take it away, Don.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1836, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 24th, 2012. The Department of Homeland Security's Office of Emergency Communications is teaming up with the folks in Dayton to provide free emergency communications training in conjunction with Hamvention 2013.
The course itself focuses on a number of important aspects of emergency communications. These include auxiliary communications, interoperability, emergency operations center etiquette, on-the-air etiquette, FCC rules and regulations, auxiliary communications training and planning, certification and accreditation, to mention only a few. The objective of the training is intended to supplement and standardize an operator's basic knowledge of emergency amateur radio communications in a public safety context. This Office of Emergency Communications workshop is designed for auxiliary emergency communicators who volunteer to provide backup emergency radio communication support to public safety and emergency response professionals and their agencies. Reporting for the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm George Bowen, W2XBS, in Albany, New York.
You can find out more online at www.hamvention.org. And the FCC wants your help in locating anyone who is using a cellular telephone or GPS jamming device. And to do this, the Commission's Enforcement Bureau has launched a dedicated jammer tip line at 1-855-55-NO-JAM or 855-556-6526. It's against the law to use, import, advertise, sell, or ship a cellular telephone or GPS jammer or any other type of device that blocks, jams, or interferes with authorized communications, whether on private or public property. As such, members of the public are being asked to call the FCC's toll-free jammer tip line immediately if you're aware of an ongoing use of a cell, GPS, or other signal jammer. Also, please call if an employer operates a jammer in a workplace. You observe a jammer in operation at a school or college. You observe an advertisement for a jammer at a local store, or you observe a jammer being operated on your local bus, train, or other mass transit system. This number is only for use to report cell phone or GPS jamming devices. Please do not call it to report that your favorite repeater is being jammed or that your QSO on 20 meters is being interfered with. Again, the number to report the use of cell phone or GPS jamming is 855-55-NO-JAM or 1-855-556-6526. And Ham Radio Celebrates Hollywood will be a special event operation held Sunday, October 28th from 1600 to 2000 hours UTC, sponsored by Southern California's Papa Repeater System. The event is using the call sign K6H and will originate from Stage 9 of the CBS Studio Center facility in Studio City, California. The historic Studio Center has been the production facility for such hit programs as Will and Grace, That 70s Show, Malcolm in the Middle, Spin City, Just Shoot Me, and Third Rock from the Sun. 9 seasons of Seinfeld were filmed on Stage 9, except for the first 4 episodes. They were shot at another facility. Stage 9 is currently the home of ABC TV's Last Man Standing, starring Tim Allen. As such, several of the hams who work on Last Man Standing will be on hand to host the Papa operators. A number of RF and non-RF paths will be available to contact the Stage 9 commemorative operation. These include HF, VHF, UHF, D-Star, Echolink, and IRLP. The operation will also be monitoring the Broadcast Employees Amateur Radio Society, ABC, and Disney Interconnected Amateur Repeater System. This links W2ABC in Manhattan, New York, WD4WDW in Orlando, Florida, and WB6AJE in Los Angeles. The Bear system can be accessed on Echolink at WD4WDW-R. A schedule of operating times and frequencies will be published on the Papa website at papasys.com. The operators will blog in real time at facebook.com/KA0XTT and on at NN6JA on Twitter. A special limited edition QSL card will be issued to all confirmed contacts during this fun national event. And that's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
73, Don, good to see you again. You know, we've got a new sponsor here on Ham Nation we're mighty proud to have, and that's Ting. And here's Leo to tell us a little more about it.
Excuse me, hams. Do you have a cell phone? You must. Of course you do. Do you have a cell phone provider? Of course you do. But you probably hate your cell phone provider. Everybody does. That's why there's Ting. Ting is no nonsense, no BS, real phone service. They use the Sprint network, so it's if you get great Sprint service, and most of us do, it's going to be a great solution for you. But it's different, and I want you to visit hamnation.ting.com to find out how different. For one thing, you only pay for what you use, and you never pay a penalty if you use more. There's no contract. There's no early termination fee. There's no bundling or ride-along services. With Ting, it's kind of WYSIWYG phone service. What you see is what you get. You get credits when you don't use all the service that you paid for. And if you use more than the data, text, or voice minutes that you paid for, you pay for it as a reasonable price. They don't penalize you. They don't add a whole bunch of extra charges. In fact, You get free voicemail, caller ID, and this is my favorite part, tethering and hotspot on your Ting plan. Three-way calling, too. Call forwarding, all of that. No add-on, no mysterious charges on your phone bill. Ting charges you just for what you use, plus the taxes they legally require to collect, and that's about it. No hidden charges, no recovery fees, other BS. It really is a no-nonsense phone company. I have a Ting phone, and I love it. I know you will, too, and I want you to try it. We've got a special deal for you, $50 off your first Ting device, but you have to visit hamnation.ting.com. Ting's great for businesses or families because it's a flat rate, $6 per phone. In fact, use the Ting calculator. You'll be amazed. Put in how many phones you want, then decide how many voice minutes you want, how many text messages you want, and how much data you want. Now, remember, it's not critical that you get this exactly right. Just pick a, you know, what you think you'll use and look at the price. It's going to be a big savings over your existing company. And if you use less, they rebate you the cost. If you use more, they charge you at the same rate, so you don't pay a huge fee. There's no-hold customer support, of course. Ting's famous for that. Call 855-TING-FTW anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern. A real person will pick up the phone, and they will not put you on hold. I ask you, is that something you can get from your mobile phone company? There's also great online support. They're very online focused. They've got a great management dashboard. Help.ting.com for more information. There's active customer forums. You just got to try it. Visit hamnation.ting.com. Save $50 off your first phone. Ting for the win. All right, back to you guys at Ham Nation.
Thanks, Leo. Good information there on Ting. We're going to have to check into that because I suspect everyone else out there is sort of like me in that boat. You're paying way too much for your cell phone. So glad to have another alternative there that we can turn to. Well, this week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to finally begin building the SoftRock RX-TX Ensemble. This is a little 1-watt amateur radio transceiver. It's a lot of fun. It's got some, you know, regular through-hole components here. And on the bottom there, it's got some of these little bitty things, these surface mount components. We're going to build this over several weeks because it's quite a involved project there. So we'll probably do a couple of weeks here on this and then take a break, go build something else, and then come back to this. And over the course of several weeks, we'll get this thing put together. But here's how far I got with it this week. This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to begin building the SoftRock RX-TX Ensemble with Part 1, the power supply, and USB power supply. We're going to need some documentation to help us put all this together, and we can find that at WB5RVZ.com. As with previous kits we've built, the first thing we need to do is go over the bill of materials and make sure we have all the parts that we need. Now, as I'm doing this, I'll take the opportunity to mark the parts that are taped together so I can quickly identify them as I need them. Some components, like these resistors, are not taped together, so I'll just have to identify them as we go. Now, I also marked all the capacitors as I was doing this as well, and some other parts. So let's get started building the power supply. We'll take a look at the schematic, and this is very straightforward. Just basically a regulator circuit with some capacitors on there. Now, you'll notice that he used 10 microfarad capacitors in there, where he could have used 100 microfarad, and I suspect this was due to size considerations. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover every single tip and get this thing built before Christmas, and I'm going to highly recommend, if you're not familiar with kit building, that you go back a few episodes and watch the segments on building the Open Beacon kit. Many of the tips that we cover there will apply to this kit as well. I'm going to use a very fine point soldering tip, and the first thing I'll do is tin it to make sure that it's good and clean and shiny before I ever begin. Now, I've already mounted the two 4.7 microfarad capacitors. Next, we need to mount these 10 microfarad electrolytics. Now, these are polarized capacitors, and you can see that the negative lead is marked on the capacitor. The positive lead is generally the longer one. Now I'll do a quick check to make sure there are no solder bridges between the pins of the capacitors because these are spaced mighty close together. We can look at the outside of either row of capacitors and we should see negatives for each of the capacitors. This way we'll know that we didn't accidentally get one in reverse. Next, we'll install D4, which is a 1-in-4003 diode. Diodes are polarized, so we want to make sure that we've got the band on the diode in the same direction that the arrow is pointed on the PC board. Now we'll install R52, which is a 68-ohm resistor, and U9, which is an LM78L05 voltage regulator. We'll also install R50 at this point, although it's not called for yet and is not part of the power supply circuit. It'll make a convenient test point when we go to check this circuit. There's one final part to the power supply, and that's J5, the power input for our 12 volts DC. We want to make sure that we get plenty of solder on the two posts here for this jack, because that's a stress point as you're plugging and unplugging the power connector from the board. Now here's what the power supply section should look like once it's completed. We'll do a resistance check first to make sure that everything is okay, and we check from a convenient ground point to the top of R52, and it should start around 50K and then climb as the electrolytic capacitors charge up, and eventually we should see a very high or infinite resistance. And this stage looks okay. Next, we'll apply voltage with our milliamp meter in series with the power supply, and we should have less than 8 milliamps. The author of the document had 4.5. We've got 2.1, so that should be okay. And the final thing we'll take are voltage measurements. First, we'll check our power supply voltage, and that's 11.28. Next, we'll measure from ground, which will be the top of R50, the resistor we put in earlier as a test point. And the positive lead will go to the bottom of R52. Here we should see just a little less than our power supply voltage. And we do. And we'll take a regulated measurement now with our ground still at the top of R50 and our positive lead at the top of R61. Here we have about 5.05 volts. So that's normal. Now we'll move on to the USB power supply section. There's only a couple of capacitors to solder to the top of the board, so we'll do those first, and then flip it over and do some surface mount work. Now, we're going to need some special tools to do surface mount soldering. We'll need a set of tweezers that are fine-pointed, a set of thick glasses, and maybe a magnifying glass, some solder paste, and you can get this from Cash Olson's site at kd5ssj.com. And I'm going to use a hot air method, which means I'll need a hot air embossing tool, and you can get this at most hobby shops for about $20. There's no silk screen on the bottom of the PC board, so I'm going to make my own notes where some of the various components should go. We'll be installing C53, C54, C56, and U2. Now I'll lay all the components on the board near the spots in which they should go. You can solder these with a soldering iron, but we're going to use hot air method here today. Now we'll put some of the paste on each of the pads we're going to deal with here. Now the capacitors are easy because we can just put a little daub there. But when we get to the chip, it's going to be a little more complicated because this is the smallest chip we're going to have to deal with here. So we need to get just enough paste on there to do the job, but not so much that it will short out the pins. Now we'll use our tweezers to position all the components as best we can on the pads that they belong to. And it doesn't have to be perfect, but pretty close on. Now the hardest one here is going to be the chip because these legs are so tiny on it. Now, one word of note on this solder paste, when you go to store it, put it in a refrigerator, and it'll last much longer. This that I've got is several years old. Now, before I begin the hot air, I'll take a look around with a magnifying glass just to make sure that all the components are seated where they should be. We don't want to blow the components around with the hot air gun, so we'll hold it back just a little bit from the board. And if you'll watch the capacitor here at the top, you'll notice that eventually that paste that's now dull-colored begins to turn shiny and look like solder. It'll take just a little bit longer to get it heated up. There we go. Now, you saw it when it did that, and the capacitor slid around just a little on the board, but it still aligned well. Let's do the other components now. And we see another capacitor heating up. We see the chip and the bottom capacitor warm up. And now it looks like all the solder has melted. Let's inspect our work now. If we look at 56, it's good and tight on the board, and the solder is shiny on either side. Let's look on down at C54, and we see that it too is good and firm on the board. Same with number 53. And now if we look at the chip, we notice that there's a solder bridge there, and we're going to have to work that out. I'll use some solder wick and heat up the connection here, and that'll take a little of solder off of the joint, hopefully enough that we've just got the two pins down and there's no bridge between them. Success. Now we'll solder the USB connector to the board, and we'll put plenty of solder here on the two posts of it so that we know that it holds in tight. And it's time to test the unit. I've plugged in the USB cable, so we have 5 volts there. Put our ground probe on pin 4 of the IC and our positive probe right on the circle for R10. We've got 3.3 volts, and that's exactly what we should have. So the power supply and USB power supply section of our soft rock are a success. You know, I'm beginning to kind of like this surface mount soldering stuff with the hot air method. That was fairly easy, and I don't think I could have done it much quicker using a soldering iron. Now, if you want to build that soft rock kit along with us, then check out 5-dash.com. That's where you can order the chip from. And next week, we'll continue building on that project. Now, ICOM has given away another HF rig. We're giving away an IC7200 along with an MFJ power supply, MFJ tuner, a Heil ICM mic, Gordon West training materials, and Wireman cable. If you'd like to get in on that contest, well, then check out the latest episode at amateurlogic.tv for more of the details on how you can win that great ICOM rig and all the accessories to make a complete HF station. Now, in our contest for this week, I asked a question last week, and that is, when you're troubleshooting something, what is the first thing you check? And, of course, that's the power supply. We had a winner here, Randy WB0SAO had the right answer. He said the first thing you check is the power supply voltage. Congratulations, Randy. You win this J-Pole adapter from jpoleadapter.webs.com. It's a great way to build one of those copper cactus J-Poles with regular plumbing pipe. And this has got everything you need in it. Just add the pipe and a little solder. Next week, we're going to give away a copy of Morse Code Breaking the Barrier from MFJ. This is a great book that teaches a Koch method on how to get your Morse code speed up. If you'd like to win that, well, then answer this. Where should you store solder paste? That's pretty easy when I just told you the answer for that. Send your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. Now, at this point in the show, I had hoped that we would have Cheryl connected up, but I don't think we have yet. So we'll continue on here. And Bob had initially... Yes.
I hope you don't mind me interrupting for a little bit. But
you didn't have a choice.
You kind of inspired me the other day because you had one of these fun little things. You recognize that, George?
Yeah. Of course, mine looks a little different now. It's in a box. Same thing.
Well, you inspired me so much that I started looking out for ways to get this to replace my desktop computer, because my desktop computer's got a 1,400-watt power supply in there, and leaving that on 24/7 so that I can use my D-Star radio. That seemed a little extravagant. So I got this and found some help online, especially from Mike, Victor Kilo 5 Zulu Echo Sierra. I believe. Yes, in Australia. We spent about 24 hours emailing each other, and now I have this wonderful Raspberry Pi using a DVAP, a digital voice access. You know, I don't even know what it stands for now. My brain is so fried from doing this for so long. But now all I need to do is plug this into the network, plug the DVAP into here at 12 volts, and now I'm able to use D-Star and connect to all the reflectors and all the nodes and all the repeaters just using that equipment. It is absolutely amazing. I will hopefully be doing a video to show everybody else how they can do it too. So again, $35 for this little amazing thing. Thanks, George. I appreciate you putting me onto that. George Thomas, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thanks, Drew. You know, it's a lot of fun. I've got mine sitting right here. You've probably noticed for the last several weeks, this has been sitting on the bench over here. I've actually been using it. As a matter of fact, I used it in smoke and solder this week. This little convenient smoke and solder monitor here sits right on the edge of my workbench here, and it's connected to that Raspberry Pi, and that's what I was looking at as I was building all the documents, because my desktop computer is way over there. And, boy, it sure has been handy, you know, $35 and change for the other stuff you need with it. Sure is nice to have a computer sitting right there on the workbench, and it saved me a lot of time. I've really enjoyed it. There's so many things you can do with that Raspberry Pi. I'm just barely starting to scratch the surface on it, but hope to be doing a lot more in the future. Julian, I suspect the render time, though, on your video has slowed down a little bit with this one.
Yeah, just to say, I know that you've been having some interesting things with your software, but yeah, render time is now horrendous on a Raspberry Pi. I don't recommend it at all. I'll stick with the 24 gigs and whatever else I have on the desktop machine. Thanks, George.
Yeah, makes a big difference, that's for sure. You got to have that power horse of a machine to render video. Well, we've got Mike WT6H with us tonight. Mike is the net control for the 40-meter Ham Nation net every Wednesday night after the show. Mike, good evening. Good to see you.
Good evening, George, and good evening, everyone. And hello from Gilroy, California, the garlic capital of the world. And I'd like to thank all of you that check in every week on 40 meters as we've set some new records. Last week we had 97 check-ins, but a few weeks ago on show 67, we had 106 check-ins.
Hey! So it's just,
the amount of people out there. Again, I would also like to thank the assisting stations out there, Dale and Al on the East Coast, Dale and Central. We have set up tonight. We've got a special thing going. We have a webpage set up with all three of us. We're going to be doing live streaming video on Ustream during the net. It'll probably take me a few minutes to get set up. But if you'd like to tune into that, go to hamnation40.net. And you'll see there as it comes up live, click on the arrow there, the play arrow, and you'll be able to see us all as we take check-ins. Okay, so with that, I would also like to say get ready to get on the air. So I'm kicking around my foot switch. We're all going to be listening tonight on 7263, 7263, due to the Hurricane Watchnet on 7268. So different frequency just for tonight. And so tune in, and check in tonight on 7263. And I'm just about ready to get the net started here. I think I'm going to go ahead and make a call out there and see if anybody's out there. Hello, hello from Gilroy, California, the garlic capital of the world. This is Whiskey Tango 6 Hotel on 7263 tonight for Ham Nation Post Show Net. Stand by for net. So there you go. We're on the air on 7263 tonight. Tune in, give us a call, and we'll be taking check-ins in a few minutes. Back to you, Gordo.
Okay. Wow, that is terrific. All right, everybody, not 7268. They've got a hurricane watch on that frequency.
Okay, so, standing by for net.
7264. We've got the IC9100. 7263. There we go. 7263. And Mike will be ready for you. And let's see if we can top 100 tonight. Remember, we also have the net on the 20-meter band. So let me go back to George. And George, I'll let you talk about the D-Star frequencies with Joe and the gang. And I can't wait to hear everybody this weekend for the big CQ Worldwide Contest. So exercise those vocals tonight. We'll meet you on 7263. George, over to you. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Gordo, and thanks, Mike, for running the net for us. You've been great at it. 100 check-ins. Congratulations. Yeah, I believe we can top that. We're at a disadvantage tonight since we're on a different frequency due to that hurricane watch net going. But 7.263 tonight for the 40-meter net. The 20-meter net is on 14.268. If you do digital, well, check us out on the Echolink net at star, do drop in star, or node number 355-800, or D-Star. You can catch us on Reflector 14 Module C, or if you don't have a D-Star radio, you can listen at wx4adx.com/listen. Well, that's going to wrap it up here. We've had a good hour here. Sorry, Bob never got in. I guess internet problems tonight. So that's the way these things go sometimes. If you can't make a direct path there, you talk to someone who can, which is more or less what happened tonight. But we had a great time here. Gordo, any parting words from California?
Yes, we're going to hear from Cheryl next week. So, Cheryl, kid, hang in there. She is collecting some great comments from the chat room. So, Julian says she's watching right now. So, Cheryl, we'll pick you up next week. So, we'll meet you all on 7263, plus those on the 20-meter band, D-Star, and all over the radio. So,
no wires.
Yeah, there's Michael. Back to you, George. 73, everyone. We'll hear you on the contest weekend this weekend.
Okay, Gordo, 7-3. Yeah, no wires and plenty of garlic from Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. We want to thank all our net control ops that are out there running these various nets for us. They really help spread the word about Ham Nation and let more hams know of what's going on here with the show. And I think every week there's people who stumble across these nets that never knew that Ham Nation existed, and this is a great way to get the word out. Well, we appreciate everyone watching tonight. We hope to have Bob back with us next week. Kind of unexpected he wasn't here tonight, but we had a great time anyway. And we'll learn more about that organ transplant as well as Bob growing more antennas there on the farm when he gets back in here. So 7-3 from Jackson, Mississippi. We'll see you next week.
Come on in, Dale.
Hello, Mike. Good afternoon, or good evening, I guess, out in Gilroy. This is Dale, KZRO-HYD, here in Wichita. We'll be helping you out a little later tonight. Enjoyed the show.